We are starting a new study today, and that study is the last of the outlines in the Christian Life New Testament with Master Outlines. And we're going to be dealing with the one thing that all of us, most of us, I won't say all of us, that most of us cringe about. And that is how to witness effectively. Evangelism. When I say that word in Christian circles and I'm trying to teach and get people to go out, evangelism, what happens? You all start to quiver, right? It's like dropping a spider in front of somebody that has arachnophobia, all right? It's like, ooh, there's that word. You know, that word never hurt a soul. In fact, that word has saved more souls than we can count on. And today we're going to open looking at the importance of witnessing. So I'd like you to turn in your Bibles, if you would please, to Romans in the 10th chapter. And we're going to begin in verse 13. And I'm going to be flipping back and forth between my notes and this little red book here, because there was just so much in here, and I felt, you know, I don't need to write this because it's here. But I do need us to look at the Word of God, because from the Word of God we find the truth of God, and this is the only place that we should ever go for truth. We should never go to a man, lest that man be the man, Christ Jesus. But he is no longer just the man, Christ Jesus, because now he is the man, God. Because he has ascended on high, and he has received back unto himself his glory, his former glory, with all the fullness of every human being yet instilled in him. So as we think about that, let us think and open this Sunday service with a word of prayer. Gracious Father, I just ask that you would bless myself and the words of my mouth, that they would not be mine, that they would truly be your words. Lord, I submit my tongue and my entire being unto you, that you would teach your children, teach your sheep the things that you would have of them, that they may know your will in their lives, that, Father, each of us would come unto you to truly be a witness of the reality that you are for the salvation of not only our souls, but for our hearers as well. These things we ask thee in the name of Jesus, who is the Christ. Amen. When you look at the chapter 10 of the book of Romans, in the 13th verse, I'm just going to read one verse. I'm going to do this a little different. Normally, I read the entire scripture, and then I go back. Okay? But today, I'm just going to read each individual verse, and then we're going to talk a little bit. So the first verse that we're going to look at here is verse 13. Well, if you look at verse 13 in the text, it starts with the word for. There's no capital letter there. It's in the middle of a sentence, isn't it? So, Pastor, why are you starting there? Because it says in verse 13 everything that I needed to say that capsulizes the entire paragraph before it. All right? So, therefore, everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Now, that's a very interesting statement, isn't it? We all here in the United States know that anybody who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. And we're just walking around thinking, why won't they call on the name of the Lord? They all know it. They all know it. They all know it. You know, everybody claims to be a Christian, but yet, you know, they don't live like one, so they really don't know him. They've not called on his name because they're not living a transformed life. You know, what's wrong? And we've got all these people that tell us, oh yeah, I know who Jesus is, but that's just a bunch of hooey. Right? You know, we've all heard that stuff. So why is it that this scripture that speaks of, you know, anyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved, you know, and how many people do you hear calling on the name of the Lord? Think about that. I hear a lot of people. They call on the name of the Lord all the time when they're mad, when they're trying to get somebody's attention, when they're using his name as a superlative. But that's not what God talked about here, is it? Because this is a calling upon salvation. This is a calling upon grace. This is a calling upon mercy. This is a calling upon compassion. And why won't America call on him anymore? Well, there's a reason why. And we're going to talk about just how important it is to witness because of that verse. Now, the awesome thing about the Scriptures, and we all know this, pastors taught this time and time and time and time again. Can I just take one Scripture out and teach on it and not have anything to do with all the Scriptures that are around it? No. We have to keep it in. For the people out there in the internet world, that word that we just said is context, right? Everything must remain in the context of what? God's Word. Not the context of my thought, not the context of my wishes or my will, but in the context of God's Word. So from verse 14, we read this Scripture. It says, "How then can they call on the one they have not believed in?" Now, verse 13 says, what? "Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. How then can they call on the one they have not believed in?" Now, wait a minute. These people live in the United States. They know who he is. They'll tell you they know who he is. But that Christian stuff's a bunch of hooey. Well, you know what? They're right. That Christian stuff is a bunch of hooey. And right now, I got a lot of people in my congregation looking at me like, what? And I have people on the internet saying, did he just say that? Yes. Because the word Christian does not mean what it used to mean. The word Christian means whatever people want it to mean. You know, it's like an ex-president once said, well, it depends on what the definition of is. It depends upon the definition of what Christian is to you. Wrong. It depends upon the definition that God gives it, okay? And that alone. So when we begin to look at just how important it is to witness, we need to understand that most of the people who are out here have listened to the gospel at least once, okay? They've heard it at least once, or at least they know something of it. But they've never heard it. And you all know, because I've taught this before, and I'll teach it again and again and again, simply because you listened to something doesn't matter, does it? I listen to the radio all the time. Do I do what it says? I'm going to go get drunk out there with my buddies. You know, listen to some of the songs that we listen to, and the things that they say, and the things that they try to tell us. And we say, oh man, that was a wonderful country music song. The guy's dog died and his wife divorced him and he's out there falling down drunk. And wasn't that wonderful? No, it's pitiful. It's a shame. It's a sham. But you know what? That's what Christianity has done. That's what the church in America has done. Because the gospel is no longer preached. Do you realize what power there would be in the Church of Jesus Christ if every person in the United States that claims the name of Jesus Christ knew the gospel and what it really is? I hate to say this. I'm a pastor. I'm the pastor of a church. And if I were to take each of you individually into a little dark room where it was just you and I and asked you to tell me the gospel, I hate to say this, but 50% of you would get it wrong. That's not a joke. That's how deplorable the church has taught its people. Because we have compromised the word to allow everything in. Because political correctness has become a way of life. Praise God for people like Donald Trump. Personally, I really don't care for the man. He's just too raw for me. All right? But right now, I think we need a slap in the face as a nation to wake up and realize just how far we have fallen and how much political correctness we've allowed, not only in our government, but in our church. everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. How then can they call on the one they have not believed in? Why? This is amazing. And how can they believe in the one whom they have not heard? Excuse me. And how can they believe in the one of whom they have not heard? Because the reality is the church, small c, has been teaching a false gospel. Do you realize there's a reason why people are saying that's a bunch of hooey? Because it is a bunch of hooey. The stuff that's coming out of the mainline churches today is so watered down, so liberal, so far from the gospel, it's the devil's gospel is what it is. And people aren't believing it, and praise Jesus for it. But that means we need to begin being the people of Jesus Christ and getting the Word of God out there. Because you and I, those of us who are in Christ, have believed something. We have believed a reality. And that reality is the truth of the Word. And what is that Word? That Word is exactly this that I am speaking to you even now. Because, brothers and sisters, you want to hear the gospel? I'm going to read it out of this little book. All right? Here's the gospel. Number one, that Jesus Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures. Say that with me. That Jesus Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures. Number two, that He was dead and buried. That He was dead and buried. And the third, you got it, Brother Rick, that He rose again on the third day according to the Scriptures. Say that. That He rose again on the third day according to the Scriptures. Three little sentences. But within those three little sentences, there is so much information that needs to be shared with someone who needs to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. Because Jesus died for our sins. Why? Because we are sinners. We are sinners. No one seeketh God, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And Jesus, in His love, before the foundations of the earth, Christ crucified. I don't understand that, but I know God does, because He doesn't live in time. When He formed us, He was already hanging on the cross. His love was so great that before He breathed one word of creation, He was already crucified for a people that weren't even in existence yet. And then it says, and He died and was buried. What's that all about? Sin has a penalty. It's called death. Who is the one who can never die? Who is the one who can never die? God. God can never die because He is not confined by the constraints of this physical world. So God had to step down from heaven and come into this physical world and submit Himself to the very things that He has submitted us to. And God Himself died. Why does God still exist? Because we have a triune God. Because we have God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. God the Son was all that was needed to pay the price. And where did He go? He descended into hell. We all know it. It's part of our Apostles' Creed. Why did He go into hell? Two reasons. The first reason was that He needed to pay your penalty and my penalty. Where does it get paid? In hell. Total separation from God. And when He got there, He left our sin there. And the second reason, to get the keys of death and Hades from Satan, lock him in, and bring captives in his train, as he now has the keys of death and hell, and he is King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and all of glory will praise his name through all time. But brothers and sisters, he didn't just stay there, and I already alluded to this one. Because on the third day he rose from the dead. Why did he raise from the dead? Not for his behalf, but for ours, that we could live a new life in him, that the grave could not hold him. Why? Because he was sinless. He took our penalty and took it to hell. When he was on the cross, for the first time in all existence, was the Trinity broken. When Jesus spoke the words, "Father, why have you forsaken me?" God says, "I'll never leave you nor forsake you," because he left his son in hell for 3 days on your behalf. I'm a little fired up, pardon me. Can you tell him Pastor's getting ready to go on vacation? Got to bring it down a little bit. I don't want anybody here thinking I'm coming down on you so hard. I'm just preaching truth. I'm giving you the gospel. The gospel. I can't save a soul. But knowing these realities, knowing who Jesus is, the Son of God who died for me, that he took my sin to hell, and he rose again, not for himself, but for me, that I could have everlasting life. The grace and gratitude that flows from my heart then is a response to him, to call on his name. Why? Because I've heard the word. I've heard the word, his word, the truth of his word, not something some man made up, not something they've added to it, not something that they've taken away, that, oh yeah, God loves you, he blesses everybody, nobody's ever going to die, we're all going to heaven. Malarkey! Brothers and sisters, hell is real. And there are multitudes pouring into the pit every day because the church is not speaking the witness of the word, because we're not telling them. Verse 14, what does it say? How then can they call on one they have not believed in? And how can they believe in the one whom they have not heard? And how can they hear without someone preaching to them? I want you to think about this. In the book of Acts, turn there, chapter 8. In the book of Acts, chapter 8. Beginning in the 26th verse. We read these words from the Gospels. No, from the Acts of the Apostles. Now an angel of the Lord said to Philip, "Go south to the road, the desert road that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza." So he started out, and on his way he met an Ethiopian eunuch, an important official in charge of all the treasury of Candace, queen of the Ethiopians. This man had gone to Jerusalem to worship, and on his way home, he was sitting in his chariot reading the book of Isaiah the prophet. The Spirit told Philip, "Go to that chariot and stand near him." Then Philip ran up to the chariot and heard the man reading Isaiah the prophet. "Do you understand what you're reading?" Philip asked. "How can I?" he said, "unless someone explains it to me." So he invited Philip to come up and sit with him. The eunuch was reading this passage of Scripture. "He was led like a sheep to be slaughtered, and as a lamb before shearers is silent, so he did not open his mouth. In his humiliation, he was deprived of justice. Who can speak of his descendants? for his life was taken from the earth. The eunuch asked Philip, "Tell me, please, who is the prophet talking about, himself or someone else?" Then Philip began with that very passage of Scripture and told him the good news about Jesus. The eunuch later asked to be baptized because he finally heard the word. It was understood because someone gave witness to what was being spoken. A true witness that follows the word of God, and the eunuch was saved. Is he the only person in the Scriptures that that ever happened to? No. Cornelius and his family, the jailer and his family, and 3,000 people at the day of Pentecost, all of them heard the word because it was witnessed to them. And in that witnessing, they believed because they heard the word, because someone brought it to them. Brothers and sisters, I want you to think about something so very real and so very true. In fact, I'm going to tell you a true story. There once was a man, and this is a true story. There once was a man who started out as a boy. We all do, right, guys? We don't come all grown up. In fact, many of us aren't there yet, including me. This young boy went to church with his parents, went through confirmation, and became a member of the church. This young boy became a man, got married. He and his wife started attending church. As he grew into his manhood and became a upstanding person in the community and in the church, he began to take on ministry within the church. He had children throughout his life, and he actually became one of the board members of a church. Now, this is a true story. Years later, he's now moving on, getting close to retirement age, and a preacher comes into his life. Now, he's had preachers in his life for years and years and years. And this preacher starts preaching from the Word of God every Sunday, making them open their Bible and look at the Word. And he starts convicting. No, the Holy Spirit starts convicting this man because he's looking at the Word for the first time in church. And here's this gentleman who's been raised in the church, confirmed in the church, a member of the church, on many ministerial boards, an elder, deacon, all the way through the leadership, and now he's in his retirement, and he stepped back, and he says to his pastor, "Pastor, I'm not a Christian. I never knew the things that you've been teaching me. What do I need to do? I've been in the church all my life, but nobody ever told me any of this stuff. How comes nobody ever told me this stuff? I've been carrying all this guilt around for years." Because you see, this man, this upstanding Christian man, was also a fornicator, was also a molester and abuser. And the church had no idea. Because Christ had never entered into his life. And he was living in the world full of sin and calling himself a Christian until he heard the word. Now, did it happen overnight? No, it didn't. In fact, the pastor that taught him was at that church for almost 4 years before that great and fateful day. How do I know this story's true? Because I'm the pastor. And I'm never going to tell you who the brother is. But you need to know he's out there. And you need to know that that man came to Christ on his face. And then after coming to Christ on his face, he went back to every individual that he ever affected and asked them for forgiveness. And it was one of the hardest things he ever had to do because many of them rejected him and wanted him to leave and get out of their lives. And he did so. And he will carry some of that stuff to the grave with him. And you all know what I mean. But I know from that day forward, the Lord Jesus Christ forgave him of his past and set him on a path to the future that he is still on. And I will honestly tell you right now, he is walking it in faith and in glory and in the power of the Holy Spirit. To God be the glory. Amen. Somebody has to tell them. So many people are in church and they're listening, but they're not hearing. What's the difference, people? What's the difference? To listen, it comes in one side and right out the other. I listen to music all the time, like I was speaking earlier. But it's when we hear it, we do it. When we hear it, it becomes part of us. To hear something is to do it, to become it. That's the Hebrew definition of to hear. I hear you, Lord, means what? I'm doing what you have said. How many of us in Christ need to say, I'm listening, Lord? And that's it. Because that's where it goes, in one side and out the other. You know, I love that. My mom used to say that to me all the time. You know, your head's like a sieve. It goes in one side and right out the other. And I'm like, wait a minute, Mom. It goes in both. So it has to go somewhere. She said, yeah, it goes into the gray matter and disappears. And isn't that the truth? So much of what happens gets in there, but we don't do anything with it. That's why statistically it is shown that for a person to truly be saved, they need to listen to the gospel at least 7 times before they will hear it for the first. You and I have a great opportunity in Christ, and that is to share our witness. How important is witnessing? We've just read it. We've just looked at this. And I want you to think about this. You know, here's the reality that the eunuch was saved. Paul was saved because someone spoke to him. Who was the someone that spoke to Paul? Can somebody tell me that? Jesus himself. It was funny because Stephen spoke to Paul. He was right there when Paul was telling the gospel. And what did Paul do? He held their coats while they all stoned him. But boy, when Jesus walked in and told him, I'm the one, it's me. Did he listen? No, he heard. And he became. All right? So then we have Cornelius. We have the Philippian jailer. We have the 3,000 that came at Pentecost because the witnesses, oh, and I love that. Here these witnesses are in Jerusalem on the day of Pentecost, and they're all speaking in tongues, right? Why did God have them speaking in tongues? Talk about mass confusion. No, talk about mass clarity, because God knew all those people were there, and he wanted them all to be able to understand what was being spoken, so the Holy Spirit moved upon the people to speak in intelligible languages unto the people who were there, even though the people who were speaking them have never spoken those languages before. They were real languages for real people, and real people were saved. That goes to show the power of the Holy Spirit. When we are willing to go and be a witness, we are not to worry about what to say, just show up for duty. It's kind of like jury duty, okay? The government doesn't care about your excuses. Show up for duty. God will give you the strength, the power, and ability to do everything that you need to do. I want you to think about this Sunday. This Sunday is being couched between two wonderful Sunday programs. Last Sunday, we had a wonderful, wonderful, wonderful program. What happened last Sunday? Yeah. Brother Mitch was here. In fact, he's out being a Gideon right now. Okay? That's why he's not here today. That's why he and Miss Sean aren't here. He's out doing his Gideon work today. And we're going to bless him to that, right? Guess what's going to happen next week? Here we have one of our people who was out there sharing the witness, and we heard from him how some believed and received and how others spat on the ground, right? Next week, guess what we're having? Brother Chuck. Brother Chuck, who went to Nicaragua to help work on and finish the church down there, he's going to share with us. Because both of these brothers have gone out. Is it happening anywhere else? Oh, yeah. Guess what happened yesterday? And I'm not talking about Brother David coming home, because I know he was sharing the gospel in Rhode Island. Rhode Island will never be the same. They're not liberals anymore. But yesterday, the care team went out. The care team went out and distributed something that many of you have never seen. It's our new trifold, which explains who we are and what we're all about and all the ministries that we have available here, with an invitation to come and hear the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ and to have their lives transformed. Because no matter where they are on the journey of life, God's ready to meet them where they are to bring them to where they need to be. So yesterday, today, and tomorrow, just as Christ is the same, so too the church must be the same. Now, the yesterday I'm speaking about was last Sunday. The today was actually yesterday, because now you're here getting the word. And the tomorrow is Brother Chuck going out and bringing in, you know, the ministry report of what he did. But there's yet another tomorrow, because there's always another tomorrow. Do you ever notice that? You know, tomorrow never gets here, because there's always another tomorrow. And there's more scripture here that we need to look at. So turn back to the book of Romans, if you would. Turn back to the book of Romans in the 10th chapter. Because this is the crucible. I'm going to start at verse 13. It says, "Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. How then can they call on the one they have not believed in? And how can they believe in the one whom they have not heard? And how can they hear without someone preaching to them? And how can they preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. But not all the Israelites accepted the good news. For Isaiah says, Lord, who has believed our message? Consequently, faith comes from hearing the message, and the message is heard through the word of God. Blessed be the word. Amen. How will they know lest they are sent? How will they preach unless they are sent? Well, today I am sending you. Our care team wants Pastor to create another 100. They delivered 97 trifolds this past weekend, just yesterday. They want me to do another 100. Well, considering the group that went and considering the group that sits before me, I'm going to print 500. And we're going to distribute them to the communities around. And I'm going to tell you right now, I don't want you to be ashamed or afraid. I want you to sign up. I want you to get in touch with Brother Bob and say, when this is going to happen, I need to know, because I want to be out there in the community. I want to give the light and the hope of Jesus Christ, because I know what I have received and I cannot keep it to myself. The Lord says to us, how can they hear lest we tell them? How can they preach lest they are sent? I'm sending you with the doctrine of the gospel. Go into all the world and preach and teach in the name of God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, baptizing them. Whoo, boy, there's one for you. Baptizing them. What do you do if somebody says, oh, I really want to come to the Lord. Yes, I'd like to receive Jesus Christ even now. What do you do? Where's the pastor? He's standing there. It's you. You pray and you lead them in prayer. It's that easy. There's no supernatural unfolding of heaven. There is a supernatural happening in the heart. And all you're doing is playing guide and pointing to the door and letting them walk through it You already walked through it. It's not a scary thing. It's not a scary place. We all know it. We've all been there. How do I know that? Because you are here. If you are in Jesus Christ, truly in Jesus Christ, somebody witnessed to you. It was either a pastor up front, or it was a friend, or whatever. In my life, do you know who it was for me? My great-grandma. My great-grandma. She used to tell me all the time. And on my day of need, guess whose voice I heard? Quoting scripture, she had been dead for 9 years. And I heard her voice quoting scripture in my ear. It all came flooding back because somebody witnessed. Did it happen right away? No. No, it happened in the time that God would give me. But I heard it, and I heard it, that I heard it. In other words, I was changed. I began to do what the Scripture says. So have you. Now we need to carry it on to completion in that day. Okay? So my challenge to you is this. I'm printing, when I get home from vacation, I ain't doing it before I go. Sorry, when I leave this building, I'm on vacation, all right? I was supposed to be on vacation. I wasn't supposed to preach this Sunday. Brother David was supposed to. But he had to go to Rhode Island, and they pulled a snooker on us and sent him back home. That's all right. We're grateful. They got the work done, and that's a praise to the Lord, right? They got all those wonderful people back in power, and all his men are safe. He's back home with his family. Praise Jesus. Amen? God takes care of what God needs to take care of. Amen? And we need to be available. And that's what I'm asking you. Be available. The opportunity is here. Take the Word of God and preach it, because there is a hope and there is a glory. And until we, the people of Jesus Christ, begin to get out there and share our testimony, we're not going to see an increase in this church. Because it's not about me. It's not about how fired up pastor can get. It's about how fired up you're going to get. It's about how real you're going to get. Because you're the missionaries to our community. That's why there's so many of you. Because we've got a huge community to reach. Amen? And many of you have. I mean, I'm looking at one sister right now that she has shared her word with so many people, and they have come. And we need to continue sharing. She's getting ready to retire. I hate to tell her this. She's not allowed to retire from the church. We'll bless you in your retirement, because then you'll be more available to us, right? When you're not at Myrtle Beach in Hawaii, correct? Ah, Miss Pauline, we love you. Each of us has an opportunity. Let us take it and let us be the body of Christ, because witnessing is that important. Today, every day. Because God's love needs to be taught to the people once again. Our world's not hearing it, folks. Would you agree with me on that? You know the gospel. What is it? That Christ died for our sins. He died and was buried. And the third day, he rose again. That's the scriptures. That's God's gospel. And you know how to fill in the rest of it, because you know it. I don't need to write it down. You know it. Take that witness out there. Don't be afraid. Remember, it's not you. It's God in you who's responsible. He just asks us to show up. Let's pray. Gracious Father, we have so much to be thankful for, and we have so much just to yet think about and become in our lives, because none of us is done with the journey that you've set us on. Because so many of us have something to tell somebody else. We have a story that we need to get out there. And it's the story that is truth. Lord, it's not a made-up story. It is your truth. Because it is only through your word that people were saved. Not made up things of man, but the truth. So Lord, guide us and use us as your church, that we truly may be transformed in and of ourselves, that others may be transformed by your grace. For unto this, Lord, we have given our faith, our hope, and our lives. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
You have been listening to a Bible teaching from the Heart of Christ Church. You can find us on the web at www.theheartofchristchurch.com. If you have found benefit in listening to this message, you can send us an email from our contact page, or if you would like to donate or write to us, do so at P.O. Box 1011, Quentin, PA 17083.